remind you that we would like to continue the process of holding your question till the end of the presentation, and let the department head or the department go through their whole presentation, and then we'll take the question. First on the bill, you have a new sheet on your table, the new schedule after having lost a couple of people over the last two meetings. We had to put them back in. It is a green sheet on your desk with the new schedule as we move forward. And first on the agenda today is County Administration Joe Mariana. No? Tompkins County Area Development.
Good afternoon. Where is everyone?
How are you?
Well, I trust that all of you are fairly familiar with TCAD and what we do, so I'm not going to bore you with 20 minutes of here's what TCAD does, but we are a not-for-profit economic development organization. We've been around since 1964, and our core mission is really about building a thriving and sustainable community, a sustainable economy, by helping to foster the creation of good-paying jobs and grow the tax base here in Tompkins County. I want to highlight three sort of main things today. And the first one is I want to let you know about, in addition to our ongoing economic development activities, a couple of things that we've identified that we're really going to highlight and work on as projects in 2012. The first one being the redevelopment of the Emerson site. It's almost 100 acres. It straddles the city and the town of Ithaca, a number of vacant buildings up there, hundreds of thousands of square feet of space prime for redevelopment. So we're going to be working, I think, very closely with the city and the town and prospective developers to do what we can to help facilitate bringing incentives or developing specific incentives around that property. And we know that it's going to be a long process, but I think the next year or two are really going to be an intensive bit of work to ensure that property has a developer that's really committed to our community and mixed-use redevelopment on that site. Another thing that we're going to add to our work plan in 2012 is looking at developing a new business and industry park. The Cornell Technology Park is nearly full, and something that we've been hearing from the state is that they're looking for opportunities to help us, help communities create shovel-ready sites for business. And we're thinking that probably some of the airport lands will be the place that we'll look at for the next business park to bring us the next 10 or 20 years of really the core business development in the community. Those lands the county did put into a newly formed sewer district in the last couple of years with the hopes that there would be some opportunity for development out there. So that's one of the things that we're really going to start to look at next year. I just want to point out, I think we're a little bit unusual in terms of an economic development agency for many reasons, but we are a not-for-profit. In a lot of communities across New York State, the economic development functions, or a lot of them anyways, are performed by county government. So we thought today we might highlight some of the things that we do that generally county government might do. We do a lot of planning. We have, out of our five staff members, two of us are planners. And we have, in the past several years, taken the lead on overseeing a sewer and water infrastructure study that will help to inform not only commercial and industrial, but probably housing development over the next at least decade or two. We have developed two countywide economic development strategies, and we're just in the planning phases of developing the third economic development strategy, working with stakeholders throughout Tompkins County. We worked with the Workforce Investment Board over the past couple of years and put together a workforce strategy that we rolled out last year to inform a lot of our workforce needs and help us plan for training and making sure that we're able to provide good jobs for people coming out of college, wanting to come home and work here, and for people that want to stay here as they grow in their employment, stages throughout their lives. We also have managed the Tompkins County Empire Zones program, which is a state tax incentive program that almost every county in New York State has one. The program has actually sunset, but there's still, in Tompkins County, 47 businesses that are certified and will continue to get tax incentives for creating jobs and making capital investments out over the next about 8 years now. So we perform the administration on behalf of the county of the state program. And we also manage a number of revolving loan funds for business development. The largest of our fund is our countywide fund, which was actually capitalized by funds from the county. These are all things that fit within our core mission. We very much enjoy the opportunity to work on these projects, but they are things that if we weren't around, I think the county might have to take on. And the third thing that I sort of wanted to highlight was our funding model. It's a little bit different than a lot of economic development organizations. We have three different funding sources, one being local government. One is investment from local employers that believe in our mission and support what we do. And then the third is fees for services, direct programs that we offer. And we've always had this goal of sort of balancing those three funding sources between local government, investors, and then the fees for the programs that we deliver. And to be honest, we haven't done a very good job of that over the last several years. Our local government investment, I think, is much lower than what we'd like to see, but we do recognize that everyone is having really hard times. So, you know, we don't really come back and ask for more. We do very much appreciate the level of investment that we do get from the county. We also get about double what the county gives us from the city, and some of the other municipalities pitch in as they can. Our investment from local employers, we recognize everyone has hard times, and we try and ask for 3-year commitments from all those investors so that we can sort of plan our budget and what we're going to do out over a few years. And it has been absolutely amazing. We've actually seen over the past couple of years big businesses actually increasing their investment in TCAD because they believe in the vital work that we do. We're just getting ready to embark on our next 3-year investment campaign. And our goal is to increase that by about 20% what we're getting now. So we're hoping that that's going to be fruitful for us over the next 3 years. But we are seeing a reduction in one of the biggest sources of our funds comes from the Tompkins County Industrial Development Agency. There have been less projects coming through the IDA, and the IDA had lost its ability to provide access to the tax-exempt bond market for not-for-profit projects. So the fund balance in the IDA is starting to diminish, and it has been a big source of our funds. We plan to, within the next couple of months, start meeting with county leadership and exploring more the return on investment in investing in TCAD and the projects that we've helped to create, the jobs we've helped to create, and the investment in our community, and see if we can't put our heads together and find a more sustainable and long-term funding source to support TCAD. And those are really the things that I wanted to focus on today. So I guess
thank you. Heather, would you just repeat your whole name for the record? I'm not sure you did that at the beginning.
Sure. I'm Heather Filiberto, and I'm the Director of Economic Development Services at TCAD.
Thank you. Just a reminder to the ledge members here, they are in the budget for $77.50. and no OTRs. Anyone have any questions for Heather? Martha?
$7,750.
All right, please put your hands up again. It was Mike and Dooley and Carol. Okay, go ahead, Martha.
$7,700. Heather, if we, when the Civic Facilities Authority permanently disappeared from the IDA, that's when we set up the Local Development Corporation. So obviously the IDA fund balance has fallen off, but can you talk a little bit about how well the LDC revenues have filled in the gap?
The LDC did pick up some of that gap, but quite frankly, the number of not-for-profit bond projects that we saw in the 1990s and the early 2000s, we just haven't seen in Tompkins County since then. So the fund balance is growing a little bit, but not it won't be enough to replenish and create some sort of reserve over the next couple of years. I think, you know, we saw lots of development at Cornell over the past decade, and when you look at what's coming in the pipeline over the next 10 years, we're not going to see that much in the future.
Mike. Oh, thank you, Heather. Go ahead, Mike.
Heather, do we have any schedules comparing what Tompkins County contributes toward economic development compared to some of the surrounding counties?
We do. We did a survey maybe last year or at the end of the year before that looked at other counties and their economic development organizations, and a good number of them were funded nearly 100% by county government. Some of them were functions of county government. I think we're unique in the fact that we have gone out and sought other funding sources. But I do have that data, and I'd be happy to forward that to you, Mike.
I'd really like to see that, because I think the amount of money that Tompkins County contributes is pathetic. We ought to be having economic development as the forefront of our of our development strategy in Tompkins County, and we ought to be spending the money. We shouldn't be sapping the money out of the Industrial Development Agency. That money ought to be used for projects. And you don't have to go very far from our borders to see other counties that are doing things with their economic development money, which will either solicit businesses out of Tompkins County or bring in businesses of which we don't have a chance of attracting.
Dooley.
I know you all do an annual report, but I don't remember whether it includes in detail what local, I think you call them investors, contribute. Is it in the annual report?
The total dollar amount that we receive from all the investors, but not the details.
So are the details available?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I can certainly get that back to you.
Okay. You said that a year or so ago you completed a workforce development strategy. Is that something that we've received copies of and I don't remember?
You have received copies. Okay. It's also on TCAD's website.
I will look for my copy then. And finally, when the county sort of divested itself of its economic development responsibilities and created TCAD, that surprised me, but since it's the direction we went in, it doesn't surprise me that the county has not kept up the funding that it would have had it remained as a county government responsibility. So one of the things that I hope that you all are doing or will be doing is considering how economic development should be approached perhaps in a different way, given the realities of climate change, whether you're really looking at adaptation strategies, which are not easy to think of and come by, whether you're considering more activities in the way of, really regional self-sufficiency and import substitution. And if you could comment on any of that, I'd appreciate it.
We have started to look at the definition of sustainability and how that works in terms of economic development. and we actually just received a grant from a foundation to start another loan fund to do loans directly to sustainable businesses, those that have the triple bottom line business principles. That's something that we're sort of looking at, and we're talking about ways that we can incorporate sustainability into the work that we do. And I think it's really going to be a journey for us.
Thank you. I will get to you, Carol. All due respect, the comments that Dooley made sound perfect for PDEC to me, and those are the kind of discussions we want to have at that committee level. Carol?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out whether Dooley had a pun intended there. When you talked about climate change, whether you were talking about internal climate change or external. I was given the little amount of funding that we already were putting in. I don't know, cutting you by $1,000 almost seems like an awful lot for what you do for us, and I don't know if there's any discussion about that. I also wanted to go somewhere in terms of how does our funding fit in with your other funding sources? How much does it affect? Does our $7,750 versus $8,728 affect your ability to bring in other funding sources and just help us understand where, if our funding went away, how much of a difference that would make.
Off the top of my head, your contribution to TCAD is less than 3% of our entire budget. I think it's even less than that. But it's symbolic. I mean, it's important to say that Tompkins County supports us. When we meet with other municipalities and we talk about investing in TCAD, the fact that we can say, you know, the city of Ithaca gives us $17,000, the Tompkins County gives us $7,000, it's significant to show that we have some support. Now, if we had more support, I'm sure we could do a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, it might help to generate support, further support, to know a little bit more about what's happened with your membership. I mean, I don't know if this is the right forum or not.
No, this is not the right forum.
More about what's happened with membership, with your other funding, you know, seeing your budget and how it's changed over the years might help us come to different decisions.
Yeah. PDAC material, I believe. Peter and then Martha.
I suppose this is PDAC material also, but let me make the comment. Have you supplied or could you supply some kind of comparison with counties of similar size in similar parts of the state and to see how the total funding of our effort, namely not particularly the county contribution, but the total amount of money that we spend on development. And one of the thoughts that goes through our mind is that we have often noted that one of our strengths is that our economic activity is more stable than a lot of other counties, and in a certain sense that might reduce some of the necessity of having economic development.
I do have some comparisons that I can provide.
And will you provide them?
Yes.
Thank you.
She's already answered that question, actually. Martha?
Sorry.
Heather, the new business park idea, can you... Are there any other locations besides that site north of the airport that you're thinking about, or how would you go about deciding where that should go?
Well, I think it's going to be a discussion because probably every municipality wants to have a business park, but the reality is that it really needs to be located in a place that has access to transportation, that, you know, has other intermunicipal services, hopefully that is near housing. You know, there's a lot of different issues that come to play. And the county site was something it's not a new site. It's something that we've talked about for many years. I think that there's some land out in Dryden that was annexed into the village that is in one of the former Empire Zone locations. I think there's some talk in the town of Lansing. I think it's really going to be a discussion.
So there will be a process to...
Between stakeholders, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
It never happens in a vacuum.
Go ahead, Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Heather, it's good to have a capsule to see where we've been and where you hope we're going. But Mike reminded me of the funding. We made a conscious decision a number of years ago to have TCAD tap the IDA funding because, as I recall, the county used to make a much more substantial contribution than they're making now. That this $7,000-odd really doesn't, it may be what a financial statement might say where our contribution is today, but over the period of years, we've done, my recollection is we've been as high as 70 or 80,000 and sometimes 100. Would it be helpful to, and maybe the annual report has this in it, kind of a spread of what the contribution, what the various sources have been over the years, maybe like a 5 or 10 year spread. There aren't too many. There's only four or five different sources of the funding. But one of the newer ones that we participated in was the tourism with the capital programs and that review. I think it's a 10% kick that TCAD gets for reviewing those. Anyway, it might be a helpful for us to see, especially for some of the newer members of the board. So it doesn't appear that all we've ever done is contributed $7,000-odd. Anyway, just something helpful.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
We are going to switch presentation. Tompkins Community Action is here. The county administrator has agreed to switch his time. He would be now, but you are here now. Come on up.
I am here now. Right here?
Yeah, say your name and first and last name and who you represent.
Okay. My name is Lee Dillon, and I am the executive director of Tompkins Community Action.
And you're on the screen.
This is the recommended budget. I want to thank you for allowing me a little time here to talk with you this afternoon. And thank Joe for pushing us up a couple minutes. For those of you who don't know, which I don't know if there's anybody in the room today, but we are a nonprofit, community-based organization classified as a community action agency. If you want Kevin to just go through, I'm not explaining. I mean, you guys have seen this. I'm not going to explain this. I'm just going to talk about how we use the county funds.
So, just quickly, these are the OTRs that are covered under the cap, and this helps to ensure federal funding. I'll leave this one up for you.
Yeah, that's the one.
There are no OTRs over the cap. So I'll leave this one up for you.
Okay, thank you very much, yeah. Kevin. Where are we? We were incorporated in 1966. We operate about 24 programs and serve over 6,000 low-income individuals annually. We have a budget over $7 million, a staff of 127. We are a certified living wage provider. The services we implement are funded by federal, state, and local grants, as well as private contracts. TC Action spent $1.8 million this past year on local goods and services, investing in our local economy. As you can see from our chart, TC Action uses Tompkins County funding as a local match for our federal programs. These programs require local support in order to receive awards. We glean the balance of the required match through parent and community member volunteer hours, collaborations with other human service agencies, Tompkins County school districts, to name a few sources. I'd like to talk briefly about the programs that the county supports currently. Head Start, Early Head Start, are not just child care programs. We serve families with children. Family Partners or home visitors meet regularly with families in their homes to assist in benefit eligibility, short and long-term goals, along with parenting and developmentally appropriate activities. For those families who do not seek classroom for their children, the home visitor brings a classroom to the family's home. We partner with AFCU to conduct literacy training for our staff who work with Head Start parents, and this year AFCU will conduct training seminars and conduct VITA services at our newly expanded and renovated Child Care and Community Cafe in Groton. We are providing training to expectant and new moms, partnering with WIC, Advocacy Center, and the Tompkins County Health Department. We are working with families to support their gains in education and employment. In the past year, we served 389 families in TC Action Head Start, Early Head Start programming. Our staff conducted 3,265 home visits with families in Head Start. We provided 62,472 meals and snacks. 159 children obtained vision screenings, 157 received hearing screenings, and 110 children participated in speech screenings because of our efforts. TC Action distributed 6,189 books in the past year through literacy activities in our family home library. We've also held a successful preschool after-school program in the Trumansburg School, supporting employment of the Head Start parents, and plan to expand to other sites throughout the county. Energy services. The county supports our energy services. Since 77, we've provided energy remediation, beginning with the whole house audit, air sealing, insulation, heating repairs, replacements, and energy education for low-income homeowners and renters. In 2010, we weatherized 285 housing units, which assisted 569 individuals to realize energy reductions and healthier, more comfortable living environments. In the past 10 months, TC Action has invested $455,000 in the local economy and the purchase of materials for energy services work. 24 staff at TC Action are working in green jobs sector. 15 new staff were hired due to increased funding because of our ability to get the job done. A testament to our ability to get the job done is that we continue to receive ARRA funds as these funds become redistributed from other counties and regions in New York State. TC Action was also one of three sustainable energy resources for consumer grants from the Department of Energy in New York State. We're using this money to provide solar hot water systems to seniors in several Racker Center's residential facilities. The county also supports our supportive housing programs for previously homeless men and previously homeless families. We have six scattered sites throughout Ithaca for families and six units of Corn Street Apartments. We have 12 rooms at Chartwell House. We provide supportive services and affordable rents in safe, decent rental units. All participants were experiencing homelessness prior to entering our facilities. The tenants have had great success in obtaining employment, reuniting with families, obtaining education, and stabilizing their housing and their lives. Our Housing Choice Voucher Program, formerly called Section 8, is often the next step in the household step to self-sufficiency. We are a local administrator of the Housing Choice Voucher Program for Tompkins County, administering 980 vouchers. In 2010, $6.6 million was invested in the local economy through rental assistance to local landlords through TC Action. A couple of the things that we are not asking the county to support us with this year through our emergency food pantry and the Trumansburg After School Program for preschoolers. But I wanted to let you know what we did last year, just some highlights. We're part of the Food Pantry Network, and we receive donations and grants from a variety of sources. We are supporting the pantry more and more than ever through volunteers and looking at innovative ways to help our consumers learn and enjoy nutritious food. One of those innovations occurred on May 26th this year. Tompkins Community Action consumers, with the assistance of Gardens for Humanity volunteers. The consumers took home a variety of vegetable plants to start their own home gardens. Families with limited or no garden space took home 5-gallon buckets filled with soil in order to grow a container garden. Young children were offered picture books to support positive growing experiences with their families. In all, over 6,100 plants were donated. Over 300 individuals from nearly 100 households in Tompkins County participated in the project. This pilot was an effort to increase the availability of fresh food for our consumers and made possible with collaboration with a local master gardener and Cornell Horticultural Department. We also began an intergenerational garden program with Head Start children and the residents at Longview this year. Next year, we plan to do a similar project with at our child care and community cafe at Groton with the elders in assisted living. There's also a residential facility right around the corner. In closing, we are requesting $156,283 to be used as the required local match for our federal programming. We are not requesting money to be used to support the pantry or the preschool after school. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Lee? Peter, Martha, Frank.
Just a quick comment, not to Lee, but to Kevin. At least for these aging eyes, it's very difficult to read numbers on a black numbers on a gray background. I can hardly make them out.
There's a copy coming around right now that's clean and clear.
But you know, when you show them, it might be better if they were on a white background.
So noted.
Okay.
Martha.
Thankfully, where you've got the match required, and the county is only part of that match. Where else are you getting the funds for the rest of the match?
We get match through the local school districts in Lansing, Trumansburg, where they're not charged for space. We count Head Start parents volunteer in our classrooms. Community members volunteer in our classrooms. Ithaca City School District is a huge match for us. We have a delegate agreement with the Ithaca City School District. We give them monies to run Head Start for Tompkins County in their schools. So they put together their pre-K money, their UPK money, and their Head Start money into the classroom. So that's a big part of the match.
And can you give us any idea what the climate with the federal budget, since you're really dependent in a large degree on federal money, what's that look like to you, for you guys?
What does it look like to me? I think that Head Start looks good. I think early Head Start looks good. We've had lots of positive conversation with our legislators at the federal level about that, and we're hooked in with our national association and our state association. Weatherization, I'm a little concerned about. But it appears that is changing for the better every day. Our community service block grant, which some of you may have heard the president call out, is going to be cut in his State of the Union. It was the first time community action has been mentioned since Johnson, and it was sort of depressing that it was about cutting us. But although it's one of his favorite programs, that also continues to look better every day, so you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but okay. I feel positive about these federal programs. We lost our after-school programming, our state funding for Boynton and DeWitt this year, which was really sad. We've been there for 12, 15 years, and I think that that's going to be a hardship for the middle schoolers.
Frank.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Lee, two things. When we had a presentation up at the health department, one of the comments that came up was the impact of the loss or the potential loss of HEAP on some of the funding for HEAP. Let me ask both questions and then you can take them any way you want. Can you say something about the heating energy assistance that comes through TCA? And what you may or may not think may happen.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the county helps with the capital monies for your building.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say something that may appear under our capital programs budget, but can you say something about where we are in the timeline for, you know, how much is still owed, how much mm-hmm. we're covering and whatnot? Because I don't think that's included in this 156.
We pay 94th. Carrie Burm is my deputy director, and she's prompting me here from her chair. We pay back $94,000 a year for the county, for the bond that we got from the county. I think, what year was that? 10 years ago.
How much is left, do you know?
We've got 10 more years. It was a 20-year bond, so we're halfway through it. A heap. I'm hopefully meeting with Patricia and Marianne Banks next week to talk about heap. DSS has contracts with the Office of the Aging and Tompkins Community Action. We facilitate applications for folks who are working. Office of the Aging facilitates applications for disabled and elderly households, and then DSS, of course, helps people that receive DSS services. I'm worried about HEAP, but I don't have it. I don't. That's all I know, and I hopefully I'll know more next week when I meet with Patricia.
Mike Flynn.
Can you tell me what the sustainable energy program is? Is that like heating appliances?
No. Appliances is Empower New York, and we do that. We change out light bulbs and electrical appliances through a program called Empower New York. The Sustainable Energy Resources for Consumers is the grant that we got through the Department of Energy. We were one of three in New York State, and we have used our money to, we have a relationship with the Racker Centers, some of their adult homes. We've weatherized those homes, and now we're going to be putting in solar hot water in those, in about four Racker Centers homes, and we've got two senior complexes that we're going to work with.
Thank you.
Peter, did you have your hand up?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, because you went like this, and I wasn't sure.
I think I was just scratching my head.
Oh, I see. All right. Pam, and then Carol.
I just wanted to clarify. The bond that the county floated for Tompkins Community Action, it is being paid for by Tompkins Community Action. I mean, the county did not actually come up with money to pay for that. I'm assuming that this is the way it is, and that they allow community action to use their borrowing power. Because I think they're, from what Frank was saying, it sounded as if the county was paying for that bond. And from everything I understand, we aren't. I was the president of that board when,
you are
when,
correct, ma'am.
When it was financed. Thank you.
You're correct.
Thanks, ma'am. Carol?
Hi, Lee, thank you. Can you tell us something about the total number of people that are served by all of the programs,
mm-hmm.
And unique people,
mm-hmm.
and then on the budget, that's a big enough, you know, not to diminish the number of programs that are there already. Are there other programs that you run that we don't hear anything about in addition to what you mm-hmm. were hearing? How these fit into your overall
uh-huh.
budget?
The 6,000 low-income individuals are served, those are unduplicated numbers, and they're served through the many programs that we offer. I'm not sure what else I can say about that. That we have about 24 programs. There's a family self-sufficiency program. We have home ownership option, the Housing Choice Voucher Program. We have Family Home Library. We have Primary School Family Support Program. We have Empower. We have Assisted Home Performance. We have a great website, www.tcaction.org.
Let me remind you, they're in the book.
Oh, right.
Section
all those,
4, page 93.
Right.
Okay, and then can I
ask one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, your New York State programs, stuff funded by New York State, we're hearing that New York State is pulling into central oversight some of what they had been funding to local organizations and agencies, and then outsourcing that work to places even out of state. Is that happening to any of your programs at all?
Well, I said, we lost the funding for after school. We have a relationship with the Supportive Housing Network of New York State, and I was talking to a gentleman, an advocate there yesterday, I think it was Steve Pizecki, and he was the first to inform me, I didn't know this was going on, that New York State Homes and Community Renewal is fighting to save their Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program because it's been low-bidded in Ohio. They didn't tell us that. I heard from them, and I'm going to call my my counterparts down there and see what's going on.
Whole department must have been targeted because their equivalent of weatherization, I believe, has also been outsourced to Wisconsin.
ATF, Homes and Community Renewal, does Section 8 Rental Assistance, Housing Choice Voucher. They do a lot of stuff. It's a huge state department, and they also run the weatherization department.
Peter and then Martha.
I think I may have asked this question, but I also think you answered it. But at the time I asked it, I couldn't see the numbers in the right-hand side. And so from what I understand now, in Head Start, the county is paying something like 4% of the local match that's required. Is that correct? I mean, I see $36,000 and $18,000, and the match required is $800,000. So could you say once again where the other 95% comes from?
Sure. We have a relationship with the Ithaca City School District, so all of their classroom space is donated for the Head Start kids. We have relationships with Trumansburg and also Lansing. We have volunteer hours. Parents and community.
But money, beyond volunteers, are there significant amounts of money that come from someone someplace else in the match?
Some monies, but mostly in kind.
Okay.
I think the largest is probably the space allocation in the school districts where we don't pay rent.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Martha and then Leslie.
Lee, I don't see it anywhere. Green Jobs, Green New York. Is that a program you're part of?
Yes, we are part of Green Jobs New York. Green Jobs, Green New York.
Now,
was it?
Could you tell me that's training for? How does that work?
Well, we just signed up to be part of this, part of a referral base. Something that Green Jobs New York is doing on the internet. We also participate with NYSERDA and Green Jobs New York in all of you could get audits through us, energy audits through us. And most likely, depending on how much you make, it would be free to you. It's quite a high threshold so I encourage you to look at NYSERDA's website or call 273-8816 and we can hook you up with an application. So that's
Is that a jobs training program also?
No, but we do have a jobs training program that involves this energy. It's called Jobs Build. I didn't mention it today because the county isn't supporting it currently. Jobs Build is stipend work for folks 18 to 24 years old that have been having problems getting jobs. And we have had great success through our energy services department, through weatherization training, and actually hiring a lot of the young people, and also in the early education in Head Start and early childhood. And we hope with the new program in Groton, we have a commercial kitchen there that's serving 24 plus 36 children every day. We hope down the road to open up our jobs build to food service industry. We also, you'll see very soon, we're going to start building Magnolia House, which is homeless housing for women on Meadow Street next to Joe's. McPherson Builders, a local contractor, got the low bid, and mortgage is signed, contract, so they should be starting any moment now. That's 14 studios for women and their children previously homeless with supportive services and rental assistance.
Thank you. Leslin.
Thank you for talking about Magnolia House. I can't wait to see it going up. Martha actually took the question out of my mouth about green jobs, and I'm wondering, I'm suspecting that everything that you have listed with us are only the things that are county, the county has some funding that goes towards. So the other things are not really listed here.
I don't know how many pages, we had 27 or
yeah.
so pages. That's it. That's what we're doing. Whether the county is helping us or not, we accounted for everything.
Kevin, would you want to make a comment?
So section 4, page 93, starts...
Really?
Page 93 starts the program summaries that were sent to us through TCA.
Right.
If it has a net local of zero, it means it's not funded by the county, but it is a program that they run. So it shows a total expense, and it shows other revenues that are provided, and then the net local is zero if it's not supported by the county. Green jobs is not listed in here specifically,
right.
but I'm going to assume it might be a part of the sustainable energy resources for consumers.
That's
are the things that I specifically saw
yeah.
not there. So
yeah, Green Jobs New York. I got to tell you, it's like a at this point for us, it's a website, a concept, and is helping us do some work. Referral and audits. So we may do more with Green Jobs New York as time goes on.
Okay, that wasn't my question.
Go ahead, finish.
The assisted home performance with Energy Star program. How can I ask? Is this a new program?
Not really.
Could you tell me about how many of these grants
that
we did
done?
Last year? Just a year snapshot.
I don't know. I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
One.
You can get back to me. And okay. How different is that from Empower?
Empower is only electric.
Only.
Only electric.
So if
electric
I did
refrigerators, electric light bulbs, electric. So oftentimes what we do with a family is we package this deal
okay.
so that we get the most out of each grant. So if you're eligible for weatherization, we can throw in a little Empower. That means that we can then maybe do a little bit more and your heating. I mean, maybe we could get you a new furnace.
Thank
because
you.
We're not spending the money on the
okay, that was my next question.
Is stuff.
Packaged at any
yes.
time, or do you have to keep them separate? And
yep.
then my final question is, a lot of what you have in here is also a lot of the things that Cooperative Extension does as well. Is there some collaboration? I mean,
well,
some of those
things? We collaborate a lot with Cooperative Extension.
Okay.
We are a partner with the Natural Leaders Natural Leaders Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things, I'm sorry there's a bit of confusion between auditing and what we do and what Cooperative Extension does. And Ken and I have been working on trying to discern the audits that maybe some of you received are not whole house audits that we would perform. So there's some, I think there's a little confusion about what.
A good example for me is Empower. Empower sounds very similar to something that a Cooperative Extension does, you know, about electrical reduction. And so those very specific things I'm just asking, you know, like you mentioned changing light bulbs,
those
things.
Far as I know, they are not performing the act of.
They're not doing the act.
They're
you
doing
have
the education.
Doing it.
They've got a contract, I believe, still with NYSERDA to do energy education. We're actually, like, going.
You send the body in.
We're
to go
going
into
your
bulbs.
Attic and in your basement and doing that kind of work.
Thank you.
Okay.
Carol, last question.
No, it's not a question. Just for people who wanted more information about green jobs, it's on page, due to the wonders of modern searching technology, I can tell you it's on page 90 under Family Resources.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks.
We are going to put County Administration at the end of the meeting and the airport. Bob, if you'd like to. You all have in your desk a three-page doc with a slideshow, and you have the airport.
Good afternoon. Well, I should tell you that the airport is doing well this year. Start off by reminding everyone that there are no local taxes involved in our budget this year, next year, or for several years in the past. And I hope that continues. This comparison of this year with next year, we expect a dollar increase of about $100,000. Or a percentage increase of 3.6. I'm always striving to keep my budget at zero, as I'm sure you are. But we're in the business of safety and customer service, and we can't always do that. There are some pressing needs, but recognizing that I try to keep the airline fees as low as possible. When I'm doing my budget, I don't have the same constraints as other county departments, but I have that is a big constraint for me to try and make it easier for the airlines to do business here. The airport's obviously affected by the same fringe increases that every other department. Ours are going up by $42,300. Service contracts are up by $38,000. That's mainly because we have to repave the employee parking lot next year. Electricity, we're budgeting the same amount as this year. TSA security is the cost of having a deputy in the terminal to handle TSA requirements of having a deputy there. That continues to go up because that's what happens with salaries. The TSA reimburses us for some of that. But it's not enough. We have a shortfall of about $106,000 on that program. Local share of construction and new equipment is $37,000 above this year. And that's mainly because we're planning on doing repaving the terminal ramp next year. That's being designed over the winter, and that repaving should take place next year. And that's about a $2.2 million project. And that's the $50,000 there is for repaving the employee parking lot. This is how we balance our books. This is the revenues that we get. And the rents to the airlines and the landing fees are pretty much a product of a reflection of what we have to spend on the other side of the balance sheet. So we arrive at the rentals and the landing fees by figuring out what we need to cover our expenses. Uh, And you can quickly see most of that, most of those rents are airline fees. There are some rentals from Taganic Aviation, East Hill Flying Club, and various other tenants. Again, the landing fees are mostly airline landing fees, or there's some general aviation in there. Aircraft parking is, again, the same, mostly commercial aviation. The concessions are largely made up of rental car fees and parking lot, although there's some smaller amount of revenues from advertising and the cafe and a few other things like that. That $151,000 represents the payment from the TSA, and that's balancing against a fee from the sheriff for the cost of having the deputies there of about $257,000. So you can see the shortfall. Passenger boardings last year, 2010, was a record year. We used the same number, and we were expecting about the same number. We're exactly on track for the same number this year as we had last year. But since last year was a record year, I'm not too unhappy about that. We hope, we project, we'll say project, that the number will be the same next year as well. Some highlights from 2011. As I said, the passenger numbers are flat, but that's not a bad thing. We expected, or they've been rising for the last 4 or 5 years, we expected them to flatten out eventually. I'm happy to say that after the FAA revised the presentation they wanted on the Green Master Plan, that should be finally published within the next few weeks. And it will be available for everyone to look at. The terrazzo floor, you may remember that last year I talked about doing away with polishing or polish and doing away with the harsh chemicals that were used to strip the polish twice a year. We are about three quarters of the way through that project now, using abrasive pads to get rid of all that stuff. And from this point on, the floor will look like that with simple buffing, no harsh chemicals, no polish, no nothing. And that's really a good step towards sustainability for that floor. You know, typically we replace furniture and carpeting on an annual basis. We've been doing it the last few years. That carpeting is actually carpet squares, which should be more sustainable. We will only replace those squares that get worn, and you can actually take squares from areas that aren't used very much and put them in high use areas and switch them out or just replace them. But we're expecting the carpet to be able to last a lot longer with a carpet square method rather than just a regular carpet. Some of you have asked in the past about showing the kinds of equipment that we have at the airport. You typically approve some large expenditures, mostly with federal funding, but you don't very often get to see what these things look like. So I'm just going to quickly go through some and give you some idea. This is obviously a fire truck. That was the last one we purchased, and the cost of that, it's a very specialized vehicle for airports. Cost of that was around $750,000. bucket truck used for changing out light bulbs in lamp posts and various high-level maintenance. That's something that was purchased with a federal grant. It's an all-purpose unit, everything from a backhoe to a forklift to clearing snow between the runway lights and the taxiway lights. Front-end loader used for pulling sand into trucks that can be spread on the runway. And used for pushing snow around in the winter as well. Many uses. This is a multi-purpose vehicle. That's obviously a snow blower. That can drop off and be replaced by a broom. We've got a couple of those types of vehicles. That is a sander truck. Again, used on the runway. That we bought a year or two back, a de-icing rig that sits on the back of a large dump truck, contains liquid potassium acetate. Those arms that you see in the photograph swing out and give you about a 30-foot swath of de-icing fluid. It's kind of used as a last resort. Because the application for the entire runway runs to between $4,000 and $5,000, so we try and get the kind of friction on the runway that we need with everything, and mostly with sand. But when everything else fails, we have that as a last resort, and that will melt the ice and allow. Now the ice to melt and the aircraft to come in. We've got two of these right now, 28-foot plow. Those three sections of the plow at the front all fit together and swing left or right. As you know, the runway is 150 feet wide, so you need something that wide. You still need to do plenty of runs up and down the runway to get rid of the snow. But that's the kind of snow clearing equipment we have there, and that truck has a sanding carrier at the back so it can drop sand as well at the same time that it's plowing. And that's a broom that's used for clearing the sand up once all the snow has gone away. We end up with a ton of sand on the runways and taxiways and ramps. We need to get rid of that, so we'll use that to sweep the sand away. It's also used for light snowfalls. That's a school bus that we bought from the Albany School District for $1. And we converted the front part to a communications center, so there are a lot of radios in the front, and the back is full of first aid equipment. We use it as a mass casualty unit, so we don't use it as a mass casualty unit. We hope we never use it, but it's there if we do need it. That's the Saab that we recently refurbished. Spent $25,000 putting in a new computerized system in the back, and we plan on using that for the first time this coming winter. And that will give you the friction readings on the runway and tell us whether it's safe for aircraft to land. We've got a couple of mowers, a crack sealer, a rapid response vehicle, and that's about it. We have a few other vehicles, but that gives you a good cross-section of what we have there. We're not buying all those this year. That's just what we have there. Projects for 2012. We got the grants for these two. First two, the sand storage building and the ramp. but they came late because of what was going on in Washington. So we will start them this year. We have actually started the first one, but neither one will be finished until next year. That we will refurbish the terminal ramp. That's, as I said, that's being designed this winter. And we will be buying a new snow plow to replace one that's just been made obsolete. This is, we'll be designing this in 2012 in order to incorporate a new baggage screening machine that will be donated by the TSA. We have to basically take that section, which is the rear part of the terminal where they handle baggage now, pull it out and make it into a common use area, include the security baggage screening machine in there, and change the conveyor belt system at the front of the ticket counter. So that will all be designed in 2012 and hopefully constructed in 2013. That should speed up the baggage system by at least should be twice as fast as it is now. And this is the what results to the airlines. So of our $2.8 million budget, $1.8 million of it is basically in airline fees of one sort or another. And that translates to a cost per passenger of $15.35. Doesn't sound like much. The national average per passenger is about $7, so we're up there.
Any questions for Bob? Raise your hand, please. Pam, Frank, Dooley, Carol.
So what accounts,
Peter, Mike.
What accounts for the increase between this year and next year? I have two questions. Is there
repaving,
one thing?
Repaving the employee parking lot is one of them.
Okay. The other thing, question I had is that a flight was stopped for a period of time, or supposedly it was a temporary stop. Was that flight ever reinstituted? I don't remember which one it was.
Do you recall which one it was?
No, I thought it was one of Continental's flights that they stopped flying. When they said,
We're back to normal schedule.
We're back to
I'm
normal
not
schedule.
Sure which one you're talking about.
Okay.
There is a flight, the LaGuardia flight, that goes, they take one of the aircraft in June and July and they give it to Martha's Vineyard to cover their peak season.
Okay.
Reducing hours from.
Okay, well that must, maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Bob, I don't know if you have access to this page or not, but section 3, page 3. There's a series of expenditures that total to $2.8 million. And I just was curious. Automotive equipment is up $34,000. Travel and training is up. I realize a lot of these are covered by they're not covered by local expense, but the travel and training is up about $8,000. The one that's puzzling is program expense is down by almost $277,000. That I don't know if that appears someplace else. But I have two others.
The travel, I can talk to you about the travel and training is up because of FAA mandates. We've actually got two new people that started, and they are required to go on to extensive training, which is in the vicinity of around $3,000 each. So that bumps it up quite a bit. The program expense is really is the difference between expenditures and revenues that isn't accounted for by terminal rents. What it amounts to is that at the end of the year, if we have the same shortfall, then we go to the airlines to make up the difference.
The other two, it's just a line marked other for $343,000, and then another line that says other finance for $269,000. Those seem like pretty big numbers to me.
That's not a form that I'm... This is not a form that I get, so I don't know where...
Okay.
Kevin might be able to answer that one.
Is that a get-back-to-you answer?
Okay. Well, that represents, I think, the airport has to make payments for debt service.
So which one, the other or the other finance?
Other finance. Contribution for debt service, contribution for the local share that of capital projects that goes from one fund to another.
And how about the one marked other, Dave?
It's just going to get, I think that's kind of the catch-all account.
I think that's the payments to go to the sheriff.
Yeah.
And I'll remind you, it's up $8,000 on a base of $335,000.
Yeah. They pay the sheriff. See, the federal government requires the money comes to the sheriff.
Yeah, that one of those, Frank, is the TSA contract that we have to pay Sheriff Lansing about $257,000 for the deputies.
Okay. The only reason I'm asking, excuse me for interrupting, is it's not, there's no description there. It just says other. So it's a big number just to have for other. Bob, earlier this afternoon we heard from TCAD that they were talking about considering an area around the airport for a future industrial park expansion. In proximity to where?
if you think, do you know where Cherry Road is?
Yeah.
There's about a 55-acre parcel there to the right.
It's on that corner of Warren and Cherry?
Cherry Road, yeah.
That's not airport, that's airport property.
Yeah.
Oh, it is airport property.
It's a wooded area right now, yeah. But that's the area. It's about 55 acres. It's outside of the runway protection zone.
That was my next question.
And if the contour of the building is appropriate, it's something that could be developed.
Thank you.
Dooley.
It seems to me that land was to forestall there being heavy residential development, which would complain about noise. So you have this land, and this alternative use would be compatible. They wouldn't complain about airport noise. They're a business park. They expect that goes with it.
Yeah.
My question had to do with the sand storage building, the new broom, which is gigantic. At the moment, are you able to recover and keep the sand and reuse it, or is that the purpose of the new sand storage building?
We can't really know because it collects all sorts of other stuff as well.
So sand storage is just for new sand delivered for use that year?
The sand storage building is a much greater capacity than the bay that we have in the CFR building now, which is really inadequate. There are times in the winter when we're almost waiting on sand to be delivered before we can use it. It hasn't gotten to that point yet, but it's been close a couple of times. This will allow us to have enough sand in there to use for the entire winter. It can be delivered in the summer when it's dry, and will stay dry. Sometimes we're getting, if you're getting sand delivered in the winter, it's wet and, full of ice and not really what we're looking for.
So since you can't reuse the sand, what happens to it?
it gets kind of swept into the side and gets a, you know, part, becomes part of the landscape.
Oh, it's all up there. Good. In Appendix C, we have lists of contracts.
Yes.
And I didn't recognize any names there from the airport. I wondered if you had not submitted them, or do you plan to submit that list?
There are a number of regular ones which I think are listed, and then there are another number that we have to bid on, so we can't say who they are.
I didn't see CNS listed.
Well, CNS is not listed since they're funded by federal grants. We don't list them as an operational expense. They're covered under the capital program.
I expected, I guess, all of the people that you have contracts with to be in that list, not just ones that are paid
for. Well, I think CNS is probably an exception because they're covered by federal grants and it's a capital program.
Carol.
Yeah, I think my question relates to this, and I was going to ask Joe. So, my question relates to this one, so I was going to ask you, so if we could all hear the answer, that would be good. I'm trying to figure out where the, well, first of all, I want to know, does our budget process allow, if a unit like Bob's blossoms and, I don't know, employments go up by 50% and he needs to hire more people and or that happened to another department, does our budget process only allow, does it allow us to raise their budget?
Yes.
If they need it?
Sure.
Okay. And then where would contracts, I mean, I know there's been a whole bunch, we've approved more than this in contracts for all kinds of construction projects. Are they in a separate section?
CNS would be only one example. Aren't really detailed in the process because they're it's something that hadn't is operating. It's not related to the operating budget, so there is not a central repository which identifies contracts for capital projects because they can cross years and they can be very temporary. They may be very, very temporary. So. For any, you know, so you're looking at engineer contracts for, say, the airport or highway. Those contractors, engineering firms, are known because they pass individual resolutions appointing them, but they're not identified for budgetary purposes in a list.
Well, will the total amount of the contracts or of the activity show up in our capital budget then?
In the project cost, they may have a generic detail, design, engineering design, but it wouldn't identify a contractor because when you put the capital program together, you don't know if it's going to be funded. Therefore, you wouldn't have a contractor in place to begin with until you approve the project.
Okay, is this true for highway projects too?
Excuse me a moment. I think we're getting into facilities kind of discussion. And we're really not talking about his budget right now. So that's where I kind of want to go.
I didn't want to put Bob on the spot about particular contracts.
Well,
if they're somewhere else.
Well, I think David answered the question.
So, because it just seems to me that somehow we're not getting a true picture of all the financial activity in the county.
Well, the power forms
and who they are.
If it's a capital project, though, it will come to a committee. So if Bob wants to do a sand storage building, that capital project will come to a committee. You will know how much money is there for the engineering firm that's involved in it. Probably have to go there for the – I mean, you would brief the committee on the amount of that engineering contract,
yeah.
If not, seek its direct approval of it.
And they're
so
on the power forms as well.
Right.
And so they've got advance notice in the power forms of what's coming up.
Right. So that's on the capital side. These are the, as David has said, these are the contracts that are reflected in the operating budget. And again, there's a page and a half of them for the airport that are included under Appendix C that are in there.
I'm just trying to get my mind around it.
Yeah,
well, if we think of ourselves as a $160 million a year operation, $160-some-odd million-a-year operation, does that include everything, or are there millions of dollars that, you know, in construction that we do or other kinds of activities that wouldn't be included?
No, you'd either provide cash for those projects in this budget, or you'd be paying debt service on those projects right. through the budget. So there's no off-budget items that we do. Okay, your question relates to contracts and where those contracts appear. Okay. This county is somewhat unique in listing all of the contracts, or at least what the departments have given us, in terms of all contracts that are supported with their operating budget. So if you want to know how much we spend, it's there. Spending on contracts for capital budgets are really handled as that budget proceeds in the process and comes to you for approval. If it's a bonded project, the salt building, for example, it would come to you, it would be presented in all of its detail, including those contract amounts. And then in the following year, you would see the cost of that project picked up in our debt service budget. That's where you'd see the number reflected as in debt service.
And if I want to know at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, do we do business with XYZ construction firm?
Well,
where do I find that?
Call David. It's just we keep track. We have a file, you know, the system says by vendor. So if you want to know how much money we paid to, for example, Cooperative Extension, there's like 25 different contracts probably with Cooperative Extension. There may be, in the case of the airport engineer, there may be 10 or 11 separate projects they're working on, and everything's bundled under the vendor name. So you could get a listing of how much do we pay during a calendar year.
So if I want to find that vendor list and look through it, where would I find it?
You wouldn't see it. You would have to be a requested information.
Okay.
So I know for a fact that I have a vendor report that I just produced that showed $98 million of payments to vendors, some of which you might not consider vendors. Like one of them, a vendor is the Ithaca City School District. We pay them a lot of millions of dollars because we guarantee their school taxes. And we have our vendor is also the county because we write a check from the general fund to the solid waste fund, or the solid waste fund pays the general fund, and so that distorts the vendor file.
Peter.
A couple of things that attracted my attention, so I'd just like to bring them up and ask about it. First off, the deputy that we provide to the airport, I always thought, you know, in foolishly that we're talking about one person, but we're not. We're talking about four deputies, right? Because we do it, we must do a two shift 7 days a week. And so I don't.
Yes.
So that's correct, right?
The deputy is required to be there any time there is passenger screening going on. Typically, that's two people a day, 7 days a week.
Right. And another thing that I wondered about is, I may be wrong, but it's my guess that they never that there are very, very few incidents that they're required to actually respond to. I understand they have to be there all the time, but I would think, I don't know how to put it, but it would be pretty boring duty. They're pretty much well-behaved in the airport. And I wonder, is it the same people that do it all the time, or do the actual individuals get shifted through the roster of the sheriff's department?
We tend to have the same couple of individuals doing it most of the time. But our passengers are really well behaved, so they're there really just for the power of arrest. That's the really.
No, I understand, but somehow I think they'd lose their edge if it was that unchallenging a job. But maybe not. The other question I had was about the $18 a passenger? Was that the number?
15.
Okay. You're right, it sounds small, but it is what it is, and if we're double the average, one has to think about it. I wondered whether it had to do with size, whether you'd made any comparisons between airports that are similar in ours in terms of numbers of landings. And if we're really very different, I would think we'd want to know why.
The reason mostly is to do with the fact that when we built the terminal in 93-94, we had a lot more air service and much bigger aircraft than we have now. There were just that many more to spread the debt service load. What we've ended up with are much fewer flights now. It's more of a burden on the airlines because of that.
So is Ithaca is then unusual for the because when you said that, I started thinking, well, wasn't that true about all the other airports? Is there something unusual about Ithaca that made it more sensitive to whatever caused that change?
No, I think just the timing of when we built the terminal and what happened to the airline industry in the interim. But I said to you before that one of the ways that there are other airports deal with it, and there are a couple of examples in this facility, Elmira subsidizes their airport to the tune of about $800,000. Binghamton to a lesser amount. That's a choice they make.
Right.
They've considered what the airport does for the economy, and right now with what's going on in the Elmira airport, it's paying off. They've got some heavy duty aircraft manufacturing going on the airport. Some will say that's a result of the investment they made in the airport.
And
Peter, is it? Yep. Are we still? Are you on the budget or?
What?
Are you talking budget here?
Yeah, I sure am. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
What fraction of the of your expenses is provided by that that $15 a passenger? Would you guess?
That's 1.8 million
out of
the 2.8 million.
Oh, I see. So it's about half of it.
A little bit more than half. Yeah.
And if we provided you with a lot more money, do you see anything that we would get in return? I mean, if we did something like they did in Binghamton or Elmira?
What you get in return is to be able to lower the airline rates and charges.
Okay.
That's all.
Mike.
I'll pass.
Will.
Of course, when I fly, I look at the total cost, and in my experience, the airport is actually been quite affordable and attractive, and I have not felt the need to go out of town. How are we doing, Bob, in terms of overall passenger movement this year?
It's about the same as last year, which was a good year, so I'm very happy with that.
That's good. I'm still trying to get my brain around the number of $2.8 million. It seems relatively low for all that's happening, and I assume there are many pieces of that operation that are not reflected in that budget. I didn't see debt service, for example. I didn't see control tower maintenance. I assume that's done by the federal.
The debt service is in there. What we're paying on the terminal and various other things is in the operational budget and is part of the airline fees.
Okay.
Things like the control tower have nothing to do with the airport. That's their own separate operation.
All right. Final question. Were we to move ahead with that business park on Cherry Street or Cherry Road, I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, you said, on the airport property, is that correct?
Yes.
So would the airport be a, would that be a sale to a different entity or how?
Probably a land lease, a 30-year lease. FAA doesn't really like you to sell land. They like to lease it out on a long-term lease.
I see. Thank you.
Leslie.
I have a series of really simple questions, Bob. One is, do you remember what the difference was between what TSA paid us last year versus what we spent? Because it seems like that number is bigger this year.
Yeah, it's $11,000 more this in 2012 than it is in 2011. So it's going up. Yeah.
It's going up. So when we first started this agreement, my understanding is that TSA will reimburse us 100% for, and every year, I'm sure others have noticed this, that we're getting less and less, farther and further away from 100% reimbursement, and it's coming out of airport coffers to make up that difference to pay to the Sheriff's Department for the deputies.
Right.
Is there something we should or could be doing to hold TSA's foot to the fire in terms of paying for this?
You were right. You're right. The original agreement was for 100% reimbursement. It changed to what they called a cooperative agreement.
I remember those words.
And that's when we started to pay. You could argue, really, whatever shortfall we have goes into the budget and essentially is paid for by the airlines.
Right.
The TSA will argue that the airline should be paying for the security that they do.
And then here's my other... actually, are the ambassadors and other security folks included in that number, or are they separate?
The ambassador is part of the contracts. That's one of the contracts we
okay.
have. And they're more customer service than... They do have security duties, but not they're minimal. They're really there for customer service.
Thank you for not replacing the carpet every year with the new squares. I like that. Why do you have to do that, the furniture and carpet, every year? This is the first time I'm hearing
well,
it.
Well, no, it's not every year. It's we have a systematic replacement. The last 4 years we've been doing replacement of the four wings, so I think next year is the last one, hopefully for some time.
Okay. And then my final question is, as an enterprise unit like the Solid Waste Division, and Barbara, don't kill me because I know you watch the television, does the airport ever make enough to have the kind of balance that it can contribute to the county balance?
I wish I could contribute to the county's problems, but I can't. It's
they
just
do make a payment to the general fund.
You do?
About $125,000 a year.
I mean, yes, that's a payment
I'm
we made
sure
for services rendered.
That.
But if we had if we made a $10 million profit every year, we couldn't give it to the county if we wanted to. And I would want to do that. But,
still saying that you can't.
Alas, right?
But alas, the federal government wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, to talk to the federal government. Thank you.
Thank you.
Highway Department.
I'm sorry, David, did you say $125,000 to the general fund?
It's 25 of 6. We will do the highway and then take a break. That's what we're asking about. I'm sorry?
I can keep talking about that airport. What are we going to do about it?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Highway budget. Okay, what we have here, the 2011 modified, is $6,700,000. That includes the It would be the property tax support portion plus the chips, plus the sale of equipment and the motor vehicle fees. That's why it, you're accustomed to seeing it at $4 million. And what we've done is we've created a technical operating budget, and that includes these other monies. The Highway Machinery Fund, the DM Fund, basically that amount is the amount that we like rent the equipment from ourselves, and it's a per hour basis. We keep track of it on how much the equipment is used. What that gives us is it gives us an idea of the use of the equipment, plus it sets up this fund, which is replacing the equipment when the time comes. Okay, it's a good way of keeping track of things. Property tax support is a 4.142 million. The clerk fee is the DMV, which is 37,850. And the general fund support for operating budget for the highway is 1.180. The recommended budget is the recommended budget from the administration. This is basically where we've gone from 2009. We had 49.78 people, full-time equivalents. What we're doing in 2012 is we're down to 40.19. In the last year, we've reduced our headcount with one motor equipment operator and a 0.25 of a heavy equipment operator, and we've basically taken the seasonals, and they equate down to 1.89 persons. That's that's where the 2.84 comes from, change. Over target request supported by property tax cap, we're asking for $149,593. A current cost of bituminous material, that's 1.88 miles of inch and a half pavement overlay. Our department priority is we need to increase road material for paving. County roads are in a constant state of deterioration. Not funding additional road materials will make it increasingly more difficult to maintain excuse me, pavement quality index, a PQI of 7.4. Way back in 2005, pavement quality index was 7.1, and I believe in 2005 they bonded for $8 million, which increased the amount we had to spend on roads by $1.6 million each year for a five-year highway program. Currently, we're at at the end of 2010, we're at 7.4, and I anticipate that the end of this year, we're going to be at 7.3 pavement quality index. This is the over target request above the property tax cap, and the $345,398 basically at current prices will pave 4.32 miles of inch and a half paving. And in county administrators recommended $240,000 in funding for the OTR, and this leaves an equivalent of 1.3 miles unpaved. It's going to be very difficult to maintain that 7.4 pavement quality index. Questions?
Well, are you done?
Yes.
You are finished. I'm sorry.
I wanted to
the screen went black automatically. Joe?
Just maybe as a point of emphasis here, people have asked, you know, what weren't you able to do within a tax cap? And we tried to identify some things in the original budget presentation that highlighted some of the major things that we could not do if we're going to limit ourselves to a tax cap. One of the major things that we can't do is to maintain what I would consider to be a viable road paving program. So when you look at Bill's presentation, you can see that under the cap, we were able to basically give him, I think it was $100,000 or so as an OTR. But we left, we weren't able to do, well, we finished about $345,000 short of just status quo under the cap. Over the cap at 5.4%, if we increase the levy, as I've recommended, to 5.4%, we still can't get to the 2011 level. We're still going to finish about $100,000 short of where we are in 2011 if you accept my recommendation that we restore $240,000 of the $345,000 requested by highways. So again, if you want to know where one of the major impacts is of the property tax cap, one is our road improvement program suffers significantly.
All right. May I see the hands again? I had Martha and Mike and Peter and Dooley and Carol. Go ahead, Martha.
Thanks, Bill. There are a couple of big swings, not only in what you showed us tonight, but in some of the other pages in our book. And they're like really big things that happened that were zero last year and a lot of money this year or vice versa. So let me go first to the slide presentation, the first slide, where the defund is down 10%, but the machinery fund is up 15%. I mean,
that's the bridge. The bridges have gone, have basically, we've reduced funding.
Okay.
Yes, most of it's federal funding.
And is that, so the federal funding has dropped off, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then the machinery fund, is that up by so much? Is that something unusual that's caused you to ask for that much more in that fund?
Well, it's basically the equipment.
Right. Is there anything unusual that requires a 15% jump this year?
Part of it's fuel. Part of it's the cost of equipment has gone up considerably. We're paying, 15,000 to $20,000 for a new truck more than we were in previous years. Each year it goes up $10,000 to $15,000 because of emissions.
Because of emissions?
Stricter emissions are required, and the companies basically pass that along to us.
Okay.
Another thing. The target for their fuel line was increased. It was one of the things we projected when we initially did the budget was fuel costs going up. So they were allotted $60,000 of that is for fuel.
And
that $195,000 increase, a lot of that's fuel. Some of that's equipment cost.
Right. If you look under the highway machinery budget, you'll see that highway equipment has risen from $133,000 in 2011 to $244,000 in 2012. So there is additional equipment being purchased or larger, more expensive equipment. That's one. Fuel is number two. With respect to the number above, the comparison of 2011 to 2012, correct me if I'm wrong. 2011, does that include, it's the modified budget, but that include a project that came into the budget after it was adopted last fall? Has this been adjusted by any project costs for 2011, current year?
That's a poll from early June, so if there were any projects that were added.
I think there might have been. And we can go back and compare this to the adopted budget to see if there's an anomaly in 2011, because the modified means that you've made changes to the budget after it was adopted. So if there was a project, a bridge or whatever, that happened after the fact, it shows up here. So that's what I'd like to check to see if the real question there is the 2011 number as opposed to 12.
Okay. If I can go to the program summary, is it section 3, page 203? bridge maintenance, the first one on there, bridge maintenance went from 332,000 net local in 2011 to $85,000. I mean, are we not doing any more bridges? If this is a Kevin question?
The expenditure of the $600,000, that was mostly federal aid. They were able to do more projects in 2011 with the money they had because they had federal aid helping support that. The 2011 number may be incorrect here in this iteration.
In it.
Okay, I mean, so if it's 331 was our local money, how did that go down to 85? Did we?
Because there's no federal support for 2012.
Okay, I'm dumb here. Are we not? And then I'm looking at page 197. We're not doing anything on bridges. What? Right. Are we not? We are doing.
Yes, we are doing things on bridges in 2012. But right now, I don't have the funding locked in place from the feds.
The local is a small portion.
Excuse me, we're going to go one at a time here.
Okay, but somebody help me here. If we don't have the money in the budget, you're saying you don't have federal money locked in, but if we don't have money budgeted to match federal money, then what do we do if it comes in?
You amend the budget. So you would amend the budget. The time the federal money comes in, at the time you know you have a project, we would come to the legislature, we would amend the budget to recognize that expense and that revenue. And that's why that modified number is sometimes different than the adopted number, because after the adoption of the budget, those things would happen.
Okay, so where does that money come from so that we can amend the budget? Does that come out of a fund balance, out of highway reserve?
Could come out of highway reserves, yes.
Okay. All right.
Mike.
Following up on that, what bridges do we have on the drawing board that we'd like to build in 2012?
We have
Red Mill Road.
I knew you were going to do that, Frank.
Now, we have Seneca Road Bridge, which was supposed to go this year. They've asked us to delay that into next year, and we still don't know whether or not they're going to fund it. Okay. There's also Waterburg Bridge, and I don't anticipate the funding coming through for that next year.
Are they designed?
No. The Seneca Road is designed, and the other one is not designed. We don't have the funds released from the feds to begin the design.
We used to like to have a bridge on the shelf so that it was ready to go. If we get a federal highway bill here, which they're talking about as a large stimulus, there might be some federal money coming to us. And I'm just wondering if we're going to be in a position to be able to, are we going to be shovel ready, which seems to be the term they want to use, are we going to be shovel ready to move on some of these bridges?
Well, we had the funding for the Seneca Road Bridge, and it went away. So we're waiting for that to be reallocated.
I understand.
Yeah, it's shelf ready.
The other question, if I could have just one more, please, Jim. On the highway, we talked about $188,000 for a mile and a half of road. How many miles are we going to build out of the target budget, and what roads at the bottom that we're not going to be able to build if we don't fund that over target?
Well, currently we have Beesmer Road that was scheduled to get accomplished this year. That's going to be pushed into next year. Okay, that's just one of the ones. Bridges or roads that are not done this year will be pushed over into 2012. We don't have the list of highways formulated yet for 2012.
But do you know approximately how many miles of overlay, let's say inch and a half, that's your figure, overlay there are in the target budget?
Okay, we do somewhere around 8 to 9 miles of overlay a year. And this year we did 8 to 9 miles of reconstruction. Reconstruction of Fenner Road, reconstruction of, Coddington Road, and reconstruction of Nemi Road. And we're going to be doing a mill and fill in Jacksonville in the next couple of weeks.
And we used to have a target to keep our roads up to a certain level of how much we needed to do each year. How are we doing on that target?
We're losing ground.
Can you tell me, like, how much ground we've lost?
I could use another 1.6 million.
So you're what? Maybe we should be doing, instead of 9 miles, we should be doing 20 miles?
We should be doing, it's not only the reconstruction and the overlays, but it also is the oil and stone and the preventive maintenance on a lot of our roads.
The ditching?
That's aside from from this.
All right. Thank you very much.
Peter.
Yeah, like Martha, I looked at those numbers and they so wildly fluctuated I can't even formulate a question. But I sort of do have a question that I would, and I'm sure you can't answer it at this point, but I have the feeling that with roads, you know, if you don't do any maintenance for a year, you'll hardly notice it. And if you don't do any maintenance for 20 years, it'll be a total disaster. It's hard for me to believe that any of the cuts that we're making this year and we made last year and so forth are going to be restored in any reasonable time that we're thinking of. And so I guess the question I have is, I'd like to know, right now, you know, you cut the amount of money that we're going to spend, that the county's going to spend on doing roads. And I would be interested in knowing exactly where you think we're going to be 5 years from now or 10 years from now if we have to live with that same budget, because that's really, if that turns out to be really bad, I think we have to stop at this point and say we have to fund that. So I don't even know how to pose the question, but okay, somehow
I'd
like to know
mean.
What the long-term implication is of making this cut with the assumption that we're going to do no better in the years ahead.
Yeah, well, I think he's going to need a crystal ball, but go ahead, Bill.
Back in 2005, this legislative body saw fit to borrow $8 million for a five-year plan. The five-year plan turned into a six-year plan because of the flood they had in 2006. That $1.6 million, they had anticipated getting the county ahead of the game in the road area, the road system. Unfortunately, in the last 3 or 4 years, we've had increased costs of oil. Well, cost of oil reflects gravel, sand, blacktop, all of that. And what we're doing is we're slowly falling behind. I would like to see in the next year or two another five-year plan to upgrade our roads.
Joe.
I want to get back to Martha's point about that large $600,000 reduction between 2011 and 2012. I just looked at the bridges number, the adopted budget in 2011. The adopted budget in 2011 for bridges was $85,000. The modified budget for 2011 is in the $800,000 range. So that's my point is, after the budget is adopted and as projects are identified and you approve them, the budget is modified, which drives it up. So that action is usually dependent upon the receipt of federal money. So all that happens at that time. So I think we want to stress the fact that the 2012 budget for highways is very lean and the paving program will be diminished. At the same time, that slide exaggerates the reduction of what is happening within highways because of that kind of anomaly that occurs with these highway projects. Did that help explain that major swing?
Yes, if I can go to page 191, the cover page on this whole section. I mean, you know we spend $8 million or $7.5 million altogether, but the net local is, you know, is in the hundred thousands. This just doesn't, and I understand the fund balances are operate differently than all the rest of our other departments. So
this is a very confusing, I mean, we think DSS is a confusing budget. This one can be very confusing too. The net local that you see on this page is really the amount in addition to what's already being provided to highways from local property tax dollars. The local dollar that you see for highways shows up as an interfund transfer from the general fund to highways. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a slide. There you go. The slide in here, property tax support. In spite of how that cover page looks, the real commitment the county makes out of its property tax budget is in excess of $4 million, $4,122,000. And again, this cover page is a little difficult to see that because it really says we need another $389,000 in local money to balance the recommended budget. We may need to do a one-pager to explain some of this.
It feels that way. Okay. I have Dooley, Carol, Pam, Frank, Martha.
I was going to, and I still will, ask Kathy to see if these additional facts and explanations that were given during this question period could be summarized in the expanded budget committee minutes or notes or whatever they're called, because I think they will bear looking at again. I don't know what's going to be provided in a one-pager, but I would like a record of what we've heard. What I wanted to ask Bill about was the inch and a half that you're using for overlaying. I was under the impression that more was desirable than an inch and a half. At least in the past, I remember it being more than an inch and a half. What's changed?
Nothing has changed. I'm just using that as a guide to allow you to realize that, you know, for $80,000, you can pave 1 mile of two-lane road an inch and a half.
But if you'd rather it were 3 inches, we would get much less done.
Yes.
And you wouldn't recommend doing that, even if that is a better way to go about it.
Well, you know, you have to be able to provide rideability of of the road surface. One of the problems that we ran into with Coddington this year was the road rideability was just destroyed. And I think anyone who has driven it, you know, before we did the reconstruction would realize that.
I guess I just want to have my newer colleagues recognize that once upon a time we talked about more depth of overlay when we were doing roads than we are talking about now, and you're being realistic. I understand that, but I don't think it's what we should be aiming for, and I see no reason why we couldn't consider a new 5-year capital plan sooner rather than in a couple of years.
Carol.
This may be for Joe or Bill, either one. As part of our both our plan for the future of highways a year ago and for to fit in with the facilities and infrastructure increased communications plan, for the highway portion, we were going to hire an engineer with particular communication skills. Is that still in? Is that in the budget now? Or
there,
is it,
there are funds provided for the position. The position remains vacant because of our fiscal situation this year. The department has decided to hold off on that, but we provided funding for it again in 2012.
So it's in here.
It
it's
is in the budget.
It's the other. It's one of the two positions listed.
Correct.
That's vacant. Okay, and then. There was some discussion about what we were going to do in terms of purchase of biofuel, that we were now ahead of target for our emissions plan, our county emissions reduction plan, and that we could still stay on target for that plan should we decide to just buy dirty fuel from now on for the rest of that duration of the plan we had laid out. Is that?
We have been purchasing biodiesel. Yes, and we anticipate continuing to buy biodiesel through the end of the year.
At the 20%, 10%, 5% level, is that level going to change?
Yes, it changes in the wintertime. We use a less bio grade fuel. We go from 20 to 5.
You know, I'm just trying to understand if we want to stay on target with the course of action, do we need to add money back into this budget to do it, or is it, has some come out so that we could overall in terms of the year?
We're good with this budget.
We're good.
Yes,
okay.
For 2012.
And then,
excuse me, how many questions do you have, Carol?
Well, I had one more, but I can wait till another
well,
round.
Well, thank you. Pam.
I pass.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. Bill, two questions. First, the TIP money that's already been approved. Even though the new transportation bill has not been approved, or we're patiently waiting, are any of the projects that have been in the pipeline due to TIP in danger of being lost?
I don't know what they're going to do, Frank. I don't. You know, we did have Seneca Road Bridge on there. And we needed some more funds for Depot Hill structure that we're going and we transferred some money into that this last few weeks.
Was Seneca the only one that was under the TIP?
That was the only one that was let's say next to be constructed, and now we've got to wait until next spring.
Okay. The other question is. Over the last couple of weeks, some of us have been blessed with flooding and bridges that have gotten nailed, roads that have, Banks Road has fallen apart and fallen into the creek. Those things all have to be repaired. Those things all happened subsequent to this budget or this proposal being put together. Where's the money going to come? We hope FEMA comes through. Lee said that we're hitting some numbers there, but we still may have to come up with 25% of the money unless the state kicks in 12.5. Where will those funds come from?
Well, I met with FEMA last week. The majority of the damage would be the town of Caroline.
Gee, why would I be asking?
The amount of damage the county has is in the $50,000 range. I think we can absorb it and then basically have them pay us back.
Does that include the Banks Road Bridge?
The Banks Road Bridge, the only thing on the Banks Road Bridge is some minor scour that happened on the easterly abutment.
And what about the Brooktondale Road itself that keeps slipping into the creek?
The last year, the TEPCO and Soil and Water placed 4 or 5 fingers in the stream that were supposed to contain the stream and slow down the amount of problem that we have on Brooktondale Road. Unfortunately, in this storm, all 5 of those were washed out. I asked FEMA about it. They said, who owns them? And they were installed under monies from TEPCO, so it's the private company. So they will not, replace the fingers that were in the stream.
Martha Robertson.
On the program summary pages, Bill, this is page 204 and 05. I'm looking at staff assigned.
What page are you on, Martha?
Section 3, 204 and 205.
Thank you.
Maintenance of roads, the dollar net, the dollars go down a couple hundred thousand. The staff assigned is 41.78 in 2011, 2903 in 2012.
It's an error.
Oh, which one's error?
The 2903.
Okay, do you know what it's supposed to be?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, and then the next section, snow and ice removal, similarly, actually in this case, the dollars go up and the staff goes from 30 to 2325, 23 and a quarter.
I believe the 2325 number is correct.
So the dollars go up by quarter of a million, but the staff goes down by seven?
Yes. We've got Some of the towns are doing some of our roads, a few of them.
So there's been a transfer. So some we're paying contract to some towns. We're increasing the amount that we're paying to towns, so our staff is going down, but the dollars that we're paying out go up?
Yes.
Is that a cost-effective way to get
the
work
done? I will check on that, Martha, and get back with the committee.
Mike.
Thanks.
Just a quick question, Bill. Do we receive any Mark Ciselli aid, or is that all gone? I've heard it both ways.
On a specific project, I cannot tell you if there's going to be funding there. I've heard they're the same thing that you've been hearing. Some of the projects are getting it, and some of them are not.
So it's only for like a specific bridge project or a specific highway project or something like that?
Yes.
Through the state funding channel?
Yes.
Okay. We don't actually receive a check from Mark Ciselli aid at any place?
No.
Thank you.
Carol, last question.
No, I'll just pass.
Okay, we're done. Thank you. Bill?
Thank you.
10-minute break, and we have the library and the health department left.
County administration.
And count, well, they may mail it to you.
They keep putting this off. I wonder why.